Oh, hi there, everyone. You're listening to Implosion on KDRT 95.7 FM with me, Nick Salomon, and it's coming to you direct from Davis, California. And if you want to get in touch, I've just choked myself, kdrt.org, all around the world. And we like to hear from people like you. Well, I don't know what you're like, actually, but people, we want to hear from people anyhow. If you've got ideas and you want to get involved, just get in touch with us at info@kdrt.org. There you go. And I should wish you it's Christmas. Well, not quite, but it's almost Christmas, and it's great to be with you, and I hope you have a lovely festive period. And, I thought we were going to have our Christmas on our own, just me and my wife, and we were going to be looking after our daughter's cat. Well, she's gone off to the States for Christmas, and her daughter, that's our granddaughter, and her husband, not my granddaughter's husband, my daughter's husband, they're joining them in America for Christmas, which will be very nice. And Deb, my daughter, is in the middle of doing a tour because she does kind of songs from the shows, but she's doing a Judy Garland tour at the moment, and with a kind of orchestra going around the States with her, and she's playing all over the place. So she's halfway through the tour now, but it's continuing kind of until she gets to Christmas, where she's got a couple of days off, and John and Sadie are joining her in, I think, Palm Springs, I think. And then she's got another couple of gigs, and then she's coming home and having New Year with us. But in the meantime, a couple of our old friends, Sam and Robert, who's Robert, but he's from Holland, so you call him Robert, because that's what you do. They're coming to stay with us on Christmas Eve, which is today, I believe. And they'll be here for a few days, and it's actually really nice. So we thought we were going to be lonely this Christmas, but in fact we're having a house full, so that's really good. Because I don't want to really spend Christmas on my own, do I? Anyway, I was talking about my wife, whose name is Jan, and we're going to start with a track by a guy called Ray Ellis. And Ray Ellis was a kind of composer and, you know, arranger, had a band and stuff, and he played saxophone. He was born in Philadelphia in 1923 and died in 2008. And in the 60s, he made this album called Big Hits for Swingers, which came out on Atlantic Records in 66. And I'm always kind of drawn to these kind of, I suppose, easy listening albums, because I always think, well, they might have something kind of groovy on it. This one, not really, doesn't have a lot groovy going on, but there was a track on it called Portrait of Jan, and I thought, oh, well, I can't get rid of that. You know, that's my wife's song. And so I thought, well, I'll play that on the Christmas show. I thought that would be a nice, you know, season of goodwill and all that. And I was putting it onto a CD so I could make the show. And Jan has several, we've got the kitchen is off the living room, so she's got kind of three responses when I'm playing music, which is, one, she'll come in and start dancing around the living room, which is always a good sign. Then there's the next one down the line where she kind of comes in and goes, pulls a kind of weird face, which means kind of, this isn't very good, I don't like it. And the other one, she comes in, the third option is she comes in and goes, what is this? You know, this is awful. So, you know, I'm never sure which one we're going to get. And I put Portrait of Jan on and played it. And after about 10 seconds, it was the final choice. She came in and went, what is this? And I said, it's your track. It's called Portrait of Jan. I said, kind of all innocently. And she went, well, I hate it. And left the room. And I kind of went, oh, thank you so much. And she said, I put this on for you. I thought you know, because it's Portrait of Jan, I kept it specially. And she kind of went, oh, really? And then she came back out and said, oh, I'm really sorry. I didn't realise. But you know I hate this kind of thing. And I said, well, yeah, I know, but it's called Portrait of Jan. And I couldn't get rid of that, could I? And she, no, I suppose so. And it did make me laugh. I thought, gosh, I said, this is your song, it's for you. You know, well, I hate it. So that was kind of always a good start. So see whether you hate it. I'm going to put it on now, and this is Portrait of Jan by Ray Ellis, and I hope, oh, I guess he's orchestra.
Thank you.
Ah, that's the Spencer Davis Group doing Mr. Second Class. That was a single which came out on United Artists in 1967 and also featured on the album With His New Face On. And With His New Face On referred to the fact that Stevie Winwood, who was, you know, the organist, singer, guitarist of the Spencer, you know, a phenomenal musician, and he started when he was about 15 and sounded like Ray Charles, had left the group to form his own band, which was Traffic, in 67, and Spencer Davis was suddenly without a very important member of the band, and he hired in a guitarist called Phil Sawyer and a keyboard player vocalist called Eddie Hardin, who was about 17, 18, young guy, and carried on as the Spencer Davis Group for a few years, and eventually Phil Sawyer was replaced by a guy called Ray Fenwick, who'd been the guitarist in the amazing Syndicates single, or on it, and at least, you know, Crawdaddy Simone, he'd been playing lead guitar on that. And they were a pretty decent band, you know, I mean, never quite the same after Steve Winwood left, but still made great records. And Mr. Second Class, I love that single, and also the album With His New Face On is a great album. And Spencer Davis Group originally came from Birmingham, but the new members came from London, so it became a bit more cosmopolitan. Yeah, great stuff. Before that, we had Ray Ellis, Portrait of Jan, which he didn't like very much, which came out on his Big Hits for Swingers albums in 1966 on Atlantic. And now we're going to get a bit Christmassy. I know I'm not going to do this throughout the show, so don't worry, this is my one kind of token gesture towards a Christmas celebration. And I really like the Beach Boys, and I've got their Christmas album, and I went through the Christmas album and thought, what shall I put on? And it's too easy to put on things like Little Saint Nick and stuff, because that was kind of like very Beach Boysy. And I thought, I'll go for something, you know, which really shows up their extraordinary ability with harmony singing. And this is their version of We Three Kings of Orient Are. Came out on the Beach Boys Christmas album, which was released in 1964 on the Capitol label. And yeah, it's brilliant. So this is, it's not a surfing romp, but it is really good if you like harmonies. So this is the Beach Boys and We Three Kings.
To the perfect light. sons a deity deny, prayer and praising, amen, praising, worship God on high. Oh, star of wonder, star.
There you go, that's the Stabilizers doing a track called Wanna, as in I want to, you know, wanna, I wanna, just wanna, on Acid Jazz Records. It came out in 2006, and the Stabilizers were from London, and they were regulars at a venue called the, well, it wasn't a venue, the venue was the Dome in Tufnell Park, but it was a club that was on regularly called the Dirty Water Club at the start of this century, and, you know, there were a lot of kind of bands playing that kind of, you know, Sub Stooges, psychedelic-y stuff. Strangely, I never got asked to play there because I don't think I was too Stooges enough. But, you know, it was a nice little club, and they put out a few singles on their Dirty Water label. And that was one that was on Acid Jazz, as I said. But it's a band. I can't tell you anything more about them, except I don't think they did much more than that. I might be wrong. I didn't do my due diligence. But it's a decent little single. Before that, we had Hawthorne's favourite harmony group, the Beach Boys, doing their version of We Three Kings. And I think that's really nice. It's lovely. What great singing. Oh, what great singing. Those boys will go a long way. Right, H.P. Lovecraft. Now, he was a, as you probably know, a horror writer in the turn of the century, early 20th century. And Howard Phillips Lovecraft. And I actually bought the first H.P. Lovecraft album when I was about 14, 15, because I saw it and it looked good. And later found out that they were actually taken their name from a writer. So I thought, well, in that case, if they've taken their name from a writer, he must be brilliant. So I started reading H.P. Lovecraft novels around the same time and finding that they were brilliant, you know, and I was a big fan. And when I first played in Providence, where H.P. Lovecraft came from, I went and visited his grave, and written on the grave, it's Howard Phillips Lovecraft with his date, and then it just says, I am Providence. So that's what's written on his grave. Bit big-headed, but yeah, I can't argue with it. But anyhow, H.P. Lovecraft did two albums, and both of which are kind of psychedelic folk rock. Absolutely brilliant, and I love them dearly. And they broke up after the two albums, that was it, really. But the drummer, Michael Tegzer, who's a fantastic drummer, he went on and formed a band called the Bangor Flying Circus. And then after that, he decided to kind of use the name Lovecraft, and he formed a new band, which he was the only member from H.P. Lovecraft, who was a drummer, but he brought in two guys from Aorta and one from the Buckinghams. So they became a kind of four-piece band. And, you know, they were great. But George Edwards, who was the kind of frontman singer of the H.P. Lovecraft, was going to be included in this lineup, but he decided to leave before it even began. So the album that came out was just called The Valley of the Moon by Lovecraft. They dispensed with the H.P. bit. And I think that when people talk about H.P. Lovecraft, they always refer to Lovecraft, Valley of the Moon, as the third album. And if you look online, it just comes down as a third album, and it's kind of given a bit of a slagging because it came out 2 years after H.P. Lovecraft 2. And it's not psychedelic, really. It's just a nice American quality kind of rock song. Rock album with kind of nice harmonies, good songs, great singing and playing, but it's not H.P. Lovecraft. It's misleading because it's called Lovecraft, but it features, just as I said, just the drummer. But it's a great album, and I really, really like it a lot. Came out on Reprise in 1970, and I'm going to play a track off that now. And this is a track which is, you know, nothing like H.P. Lovecraft, but still really nice. If you like that kind of harmony, rocking early 70s American stuff. And this is a track called Brother I Wonder. So this is Lovecraft and Brother I Wonder. Honest.
Do you think we're any closer than the day before?
The surgical goes through your mind. Four more days between love and love.
Clearly on the way, you wonder, brother, you wonder.
There you go, a bit of kind of mid-60s soul for you. That's Barbara Mills doing Queen of Fools, because a single on London in England and Hickory in the USA, and it came out in 1965. And Barbara Mills, as far as I can read my writing, her real name was Barbara Henley, but it could be Healy, because I can't read what I've written. And she came from Texas, Tyler, a town called Tyler in Texas. Tyler, Texas. That sort of sounds like someone's name, doesn't it? But yeah, that's a nice little single. I mean, I've had that a while just because I just like the tune. I kind of was listening to it and thinking, yeah, I like that. So yeah, that's all I can tell you about it, really. Before that, we had Lovecraft doing Brother I Wonder from their album Valley of the Moon, which I think is a really good album, but it's not anything like H.P. Lovecraft at all. But it's, yeah, well worth getting. Doesn't cost much at all. What have we got for you now? Oh, yeah. Well, this is one of my favourite groups of all time. I remember seeing them at the Marquee Club. Actually, the first time I ever saw them, wittingly, I think I saw them a year earlier, or maybe even 2 years earlier, when I went to the Sunbury Jazz and Blues Festival on my bicycle, for God's sake. And, yeah, I went with my mate Ray, and it was the other side of London, and I thought, wow, we can cycle that. So me and Ray got on our bikes. We would have been like 15, and we cycled across London and down past Hampton Court. It's quite a long way, I tell you, and I fell off my bike going down a hill called Staringard Hill. I go flying off my bike at the bottom of Staringard Hill because I was going too fast, and yeah, landed at the park gates of some park. I think it was maybe Richmond Park, and I landed at the as people were kind of going in and out of the park, and this kind of 15-year-old kid went kind of flying through the air and landed at their feet. But anyhow, we went on to the festival, and I think this band played the festival under a different name. They had been known as Time Box, and Time Box definitely played there, so I must have seen them, but I had no idea that they were going to be Pato. And I went to the Marquee on my 17th birthday, which, yeah, came some time ago. And, yeah, I saw Nucleus. That's who I'd gone to see, is the British Nucleus, not the Canadian Nucleus. And I went to see Nucleus, who were a kind of jazz rock band who were getting a lot of praise at the time. And I thought, oh, I'll go and see them. And they were supported by Pato, who I'd never heard of. And Pato came on, and almost immediately they became my favourite band ever, type of thing. I don't know whether, I mean, I'm still a big Beatles and Hendrix man, but, you know, there's loads of bands I like, but Pato are right up there. And they had the best guitarist I think I've ever seen in my life, a guy called Ollie Halsall. And he was just unbelievably good. I was sitting there kind of with my jaw wide open, you know, oh, how can he do that? It's stunning. So I'm going to play a track by Pato off their second album, which was called Hold Your Fire, came out in 1971 on the Hallowed Vertigo label. And this is a track called Give It All Away. And I got to say, they never kind of cut it as a recording band. That live they were unbelievably good, and on records they're just really good, but never really touched it. Loud Green Song, which I've already played on a show previously, is about the closest you get to what they were like live, but this is just a brilliant song, and the guitar solo in the middle is extraordinary. It's like, how does he do that? And apparently he'd started off as a drummer, Ollie, and only switched to guitar about 3 years earlier than playing this solo. And in like 3 years' time, he'd become like the greatest guitarist you'll ever hear. Unfortunately, he was kind of a bit of a maverick and took a lot of drugs and didn't give a monkeys about anything, really, and died relatively young in Spain. And yeah, he'd been in a few bands, though. He was tipped to join the Stones, but didn't. Was in Tempest with John Heisman for a while. Did a lot of work with Kevin Ayers. But, as I said, died relatively young in Spain, in a flat in Spain. And, you know, wasn't discovered until the neighbours complained about the smell, which is lovely. So, yeah, quite a unpleasant passing for him. But anyhow, this is Pato with the legendary Ollie Halsall playing a solo, and the track, as I said, is Give It All Away. So here it goes. Mm-hmm. Oh, what a great little single. That's a band called The Aphex, spelled A-F-E-X. And they came from Dagenham, which is to the east of London. When they recorded it, it had just become part of London, Dagenham. It was, till 1965, it was part of Essex. But then they changed the boundaries and it became part of London. And The Aphex did just that one single, which is great. It's called She's Got the Time. It was a cover of a band called The Poor, who were from, I believe, Canada, but they might have been USA. And it was written by Brewer and Shipley. And a version of it features on Brewer and Shipley's first album, which is called Down in LA. And I've got to say, I've never really liked Brewer and Shipley, but that album, Down in LA, is an absolute killer. Love it. So yeah, that's The Poor. No, it's not The Poor, it's The Aphex. What am I talking about? Yeah, it's The Aphex doing She's Got the Time. Came out on King Records in 1967. And before that, we had the sound of the ridiculously good Pato. And I'm sorry if it skipped a little bit in the middle of that, but I banged the CD player with my elbow. So that was very smart. And it made it jump. Yeah, good. But you know, I'm only drawing it to your attention because I think you probably heard it. But then if you didn't, I've made you realise I'm not a particularly brilliant DJ because I bang things with parts of my body, which is unprofessional. So what have we got for you now? Let me have a look. Oh, yeah, this is a band called Elizabeth. And Elizabeth were from Philadelphia and they featured the young Stukey, who ended up in the Nas with Todd Rundgren. They were a great little band, Elizabeth. They did a one album, which came out on Vanguard in 1968, just called Elizabeth. And it's kind of got a mixture of all kinds of stuff on it. It goes psychedelic, but not all the time. It's got kind of almost like folk rock and then a bit of kind of pop and stuff. It's an interesting thing. I've had it a long time. One of these albums that I bought when I was a kid because it had a psychedelic looking cover and I thought, oh, that's going to be great. And initially I was a bit disappointed with it because it wasn't psychedelic enough for me. But then there was a couple of tracks on it that I thought, oh, that's really good. Good enough for me to keep. And now I'm very glad that I did because it's a really nice album. So there you go. So this is Elizabeth. And the song I'm going to play for you is called You Should Be More Careful. And what can they be referring to? I've no idea.
Tight, everything's gonna be alright if you make it.
You need know her.
You and I are bound to groove. No way that you can lose. That's the way it's gonna be after we smoke a little tea. Groovy. You'd like to make a call, help your family rest their minds so that we have more time to do it.
You need know her.
So come on baby, go cross town, meet my friends, we'll turn you on. You'll meet some real cool cats, I'm gonna show you where it's at. Groovy.
Thank you.
Oh, that's a nice bit of kind of soul rock. That's a guy called Grover Mitchell, and the track in question is called Turned On, came out on London Records in 1968, and Grover Mitchell's real name, as far as I can see, again, my writing's not very good, I should have been a doctor, his real name is Grover Mincy, as far as I can make out. He came from Atlanta, and that single was produced rather... hard to believe, but it was produced by Roy Orbison. So there you go. He was obviously getting his rocks off, old Orb. I saw him once, actually. My dad, when he was visiting London, he used to kind of like to stay at fancy hotels. And he stayed at a hotel called the Westbury Hotel in the centre of London. My dad was in the RAF, but kind of lived above his means, really. But I only saw him sporadically. He didn't live with us. And I went to meet him at the Westbury Hotel, and it, you know, I'd had the instructions, you know, comb your hair, wear something smart, put on, you know, and all that kind of nonsense. But I went and met him, and while I was waiting in the foyer for him to make an appearance, I was sitting opposite Roy Orbison in that, and my abiding memory of him, which isn't, I suppose, a good one, but he's sitting there, and he seemed nice enough, you know, but he's sitting there, but he had really bad dandruff. You know, I remember sitting there thinking, oh, God, blimey, look at that. But, you know, that's just a kid's memory of the big O, the big D. So that was Grover Mitchell. Before that, we had Elizabeth doing You Should Be More Careful. That is one of the psychedelic tracks that I thought was worth keeping the album for. So I did. What have we got for you now? Well, we've got a kind of classic garage band who made two albums, although they're not quite two albums. The first album is The Music Machine, just called Music Machine, but it's got Turn on the top corner of the sleeve, so people think it's called Turn On The Music Machine, but I think it's just called The Music Machine. And that was a great album. It had too many covers on it, and then 2 years later they did the Bonniewell Music Machine, which was Sean Bonniewell, who was the front guy of the Music Machine, but a completely different backing band. They'd been called the Ragamuffins in the early days back in LA, and they, you know, came out of a folk background, but they were really good. So this is a track called Masculine Intuition, which appeared on their first album, which was, as I said, just called Music Machine, and Original Sound Label, that was the label, and it came out in 1966. We managed to get there in the end. So this is, as I said, The Music Machine and Masculine Intuition.
Keeping your good time humor, I keep coming on strong, and nothing else gets no newer. The chips on the table and the pens in your hand, and if that makes you happy, then nothing else can. My mind's all belong to you while you sleep away. If I had the gumption, I'd leave you today. Whispering.
does to me.
There you go, that's a track by a band called Underbeat, and it's called Darkness. It came out on the PIP label in 1968, and Underbeat were from Minneapolis, I think, and they became Gypsy. Is that right? I mean, I'm checking my copious notes. Yes, that is right. That was, I think, their only single, and it's really good. Before that, we had the music machine doing Masculine Intuition, and it's time for me to go. So listen, have yourselves a merry, merry Christmas. I hope it's great and everything goes to your liking, and I'll be back next week with some more of the same. So many happy thingies. I was going to say many happy returns, but that's for a birthday, isn't it? Well, I suppose it's Jesus's birthday, so there you go. Have a lovely Christmas. I've been Nick Solomon. You've been listening to Implosion on KDRT, and I'll be back next week with more of this. See ya.